on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? We're back for another episode of the YokeCast podcast. It's great to have you alongside here for the conversation today. Coyotes football team on to round number two of the FCS playoffs, and of course this week it's the Big Sky Summit Challenge for basketball. So the Coyote basketball team's in action against Big Sky opponents for the Big Sky Summit Challenge. It all wraps up on Saturday. We'll see how things play out with all of that. Coyote football on to round two of the FCS playoffs after a win over Drake in round number one. Coyotes really dominated the second half of that game. Drake got that late touchdown to close the gap, but the Coyotes were well in control in the second half. And now they'll go play the sixth seed in the tournament. That is the Mercer Bears. They are led by their quarterback, Braden Atkinson. He's a freshman, just won the Jerry Rice Award, which is given to the best freshman across FCS. He did not play in the first two games of the season for Mercer. After they lost to Presbyterian, they made a quarterback change, and he's led this pass attack that's been phenomenal all season long. So we'll see what the Coyote secondary can do against Braden Atkinson. Coming up in the podcast today, we'll get a preview of the Mercer Bears with Rick Cameron, the longtime voice of the Mercer Bears, and we will also have a conversation with Coyote linebacker Gabe Hardman, and we'll get it started this week with Matt Merkin, an assistant coach for men's basketball. In his first season at South Dakota, he and his wife just had another child, so make sure you congratulate Coach Merkin if you get that opportunity here this week. Coach Merkin came to South Dakota after serving as the head coach at Minot State.
Coach, the season well underway and obviously getting through this non-conference, and before you know it, we'll be into Summit League basketball. What's been kind of the feel for you in your chair as you look at this team here through non-conference play?
Yeah, just getting everybody settled into their new roles or the new guys. You know, six guys, I think, that had never played for us before, played a game at USD before, and some other guys, or everybody else really, in new roles and just adjusting to that thing. And feel like we've shown some growth from game one to where we're at now, but also it's exciting because you see all the we won some games, but you still look at all these mistakes and think, man, we've only scratched the surface of where we can be at and where this team can get to. So just excited to continue to see that growth as we move forward.
How challenging is it with the amount of young players inexperienced at this level coming into the season? How challenging is it during the non-conference to get these guys to understand how you have to play at this level to win?
Yeah, I think the unique thing is you see so many different styles in college athletics compared to what kids see in high school. You know, everybody's got adjustments. You know, whatever your sport is, you know, you might see a team that plays all zone one game, and the next game it's a pressure man-to-man pressing the whole game, and the next game you're going on the road to Mizzou and they're switching defenses on makes and misses, and some of those young kids are looking at you like, man, we didn't see this in the high school league that we played in or whatever. So not only are the players better, but there's a little bit more in-depth game plans. And you know, I think that's the same, again, football, same type of thing. You know, you see these wide range of styles, and that's what makes it fun. And then you're trying as a coach to find that balance between, man, we want to win right now. Every game's important. But also we want to develop these guys for the long haul and be playing our best basketball in the second semester in February and March. And that's kind of the challenge of it for everybody, is you want to keep seeing improvement, but you also want to win right now. And you got to kind of find the balance of both those things, because both are super important, and you can do both those and you've got a team that's really special and they can do big things.
You came to South Dakota from Minot State, where you were the head coach, Division II level. How would you describe what your coaching career has been up to this point?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, the thing I love about basketball is just, or any sport really, is you're just, every year you're trying to put this group of guys together and see how good they can get. And the thing I love the most is just, you're trying to figure out every day at practice or every game, how can we put these guys in a situation to get better? What can we do with them to make them better individuals so we can be a better team? And what can we do on the practice court to keep developing these guys to make them better and better and better and better and better and better, so we can be the best team possible? And that's a challenge. You know, that's the same challenge no matter where you're at. You know, I did a year of high school basketball way back. That was my first year. And through JUCO and NAI and being a D2 head coach for 13 years, same challenge here. You know, how can we get these guys better every single day? And, you know, not lose sight of that when you're trying to win. And it, like I said, it is really important to win. But the main thing is, keep getting better. And that's the fun of it to me, is the development and seeing everybody improve. And I think we've got a great – I know we've got a great coaching staff to do that, to help these young guys get better and these older guys continue to get better. And in the era of college basketball now, with all the transfers and the new people, USD for a number of years, Coach Peterson's done a good job of keeping a core group each year. You know, even teams like Baylor have literally an entire new roster, not one returner. And Coach Peterson's kept his guys, a core group at least. But that's, I think, where you really see and you can have an impact now each year of, even if you keep seven or eight guys, you're going to have seven or eight new ones. How can we coach them up immediately from day one and keep getting better? And that's that, to me, it's a challenge, but it's so much fun to do that every day.
I feel like when you look at your career, and you talked about a high school, a little bit of JUCO, NAIA, kind of making your way up, when you go through all the different levels, you kind of learn to appreciate the game in a different way.
Absolutely. I just think, you know, my first job out of college, I was teaching junior high. And I'm a junior high teacher, and I've hoped to never lose that core of, you know, if you're a coach, you're just teaching the game. You're using it to teach a little bit of life stuff too, hopefully a lot of life stuff, and how to grow up as a young man and use that as development in your program as well. But the core of being a good coach is being a good teacher. And I just think that's what you got to keep. And basketball can change. And, you know, we're doing some different things offensively and defensively here, which I really enjoy. I love to learn about the game of basketball. I love learning about our press. You know, Coach Smith's doing a great job with developing our press and tweaking it and that sort of stuff. And I love learning from him on that. But the name of the game is, how well can we teach these guys? And that's the same no matter what level you're at. Even back when I was, you know, coaching junior high and teaching junior high and coaching high school, it's the same here at the Division I level. Let's use today to get a little bit better and teach these guys how to be a better player, hopefully better men as we're doing it, and just keep moving forward. And, man, I've had a blast at USD doing that here for the 6 months that I've been here, and just can't wait to keep seeing us get better and better each day.
You had a great deal of success as a head coach at Minot State, and obviously spent some time there. Some people always wonder, why would a coach leave a head coaching job to become an assistant coach? Is it simply just moving up a level? What goes into the kind of that process?
Yeah, that's a great question. Had some opportunities over the years. We were able to have some success at Minot with some great assistant coaches and great players that helped us to win a lot of games. And the last 2 years, you know, we were spending time in the top 10 in the country in the Division II level, and that was super fun and exciting. And we've turned some opportunities down as a family, but it just when this popped up, it was kind of something where we thought it was time for a change. And I know this is a cliche that's used a lot, but to me, it's all about the people that you get to work with. There's a very short list of coaches that I would want to work for. Coach Peterson's definitely on that list. You know, you and I were just talking. My wife and I just had our fourth child yesterday, and then snuck in the office today. I've got an hour is all I've got today to get some stuff done. But I know that Coach, you know, Peterson is going to always put family first, allow me to do the same thing. I love basketball, but it's always going to be number two to my family. And to me, it's kind of, you intertwine those two things where our kids are around the game a lot. They're around our players a lot. You know, it's kind of a family affair. Family's first, but they're also around. And I think if you're going to do your best job you can as a coach, you've got to have your family involved with the program and the young men, and enjoy the young men you coach every day. And, man, I love this team. And my kids love the guys on the team. My wife enjoys being around them and the coaches' wives and everything. But starting with Coach Peterson, on to Coach Ubell, down on Coach Smith, and on down the list of guys. It's a great group of people that I've known for a long time. And that was kind of the deciding factor for me, was not only an opportunity to learn a different style of basketball, and I'm always hungry to get better as a coach. And I think new challenges and change can be hard, but it can be exciting. And it was an exciting change to kind of grow as a coach, to have a new adventure as a family. We're always teaching our kids to try new things and to not, you know, go see different places in the world and meet new people. And we thought it was a good chance for us to do that. And it's been a great move for our family. People of Vermillion have been great to us. The community of USD and how they've treated our family has been top notch. And that was kind of our experience when we were looking if we were going to make the jump or not. And it's lived up to everything we've thought. And then, like I said, just the camaraderie on our coaching staff and within our program and the athletic department has been great. So something that we've really enjoyed and something that's been a lot of fun for me. And for me, it's like, I don't want to work. I want to coach. That's not work to me. That's having fun every day. And it's sure been a lot of fun, like I said, for the 6 months that we've been here.
And not only that, you move south, we assume it gets a little bit warmer than it was in Minot sometimes.
But. It is. I mean, we just got hit with that snowstorm, but I know they got a little bit up there too. And it, man, it's 20 feels pretty good right now when it could be below zero up north.
No doubt about it. What do you hope the identity of this team is? You know, at the end of the day, obviously, as you said it earlier, you know, want to win right now. But the goal really is to be playing your best basketball at the end of February, early March.
Yeah, I think it's everything we talked about our press earlier. I think everything starts from there. Like, are we getting up? Are we working? Does this team play hard? Does that team give a great effort? Is that a bunch of guys that when they check in are going to go fly around and run to the basket? Basketball and can really compete their butts off. And I think, again, that starts with our press, and I think it gives us a chance to play a lot of guys. And man, Coach Smith is killing it with that. He's so creative in how we do different things within our press. So I think our guys playing hard starts with that, and then it just keeps going. And then I work on the offensive side of the ball a lot, and I just want our guys to play an exciting brand of basketball on that side, be pushing the basketball. Like, let's get some transition baskets. Let's build it off our press, but let's also share the basketball and be selfless players and help make it fun for each other and different guys touching the basketball. And so if we're doing those things and bouncing around on that pressure, man, and our guys are clapping and having fun and building energy, then, man, the half-court defense looks better. And Coach Ubell's done a great job with that. But that looks better when our press is good, and our offense looks better when we're forcing turnovers. And I think I want people to come out and, if they watch us play, say, man, those guys played really hard and they have a lot of fun playing the game of basketball. And I think if we're doing that, then you're going to see a lot of victories pile up here from here on out and through the second semester.
All right, well, we're looking forward to it. Appreciate the time very much. Go enjoy that growing family.
Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate the time.
That is Matt Merkin. He is an assistant basketball coach for the University of South Dakota, doing a tremendous job with Yotes so far, and we'll look forward to continue to see his impact on Coyote basketball as we go throughout the course of the season. Time now to turn our attention to Coyote linebacker Gabe Hardman, having himself a phenomenal season and just continues to be one of the main cogs of the Coyote defense.
Gabe, this team on to another round of the FCS playoffs. How would you look at it right now? How would you describe this season? I know it wasn't a lot of feel goods early, but a lot of feel goods right now as this team finds its way into the playoffs.
It was definitely a challenge. A challenge that we were ready to face. We talked about it, you know, I'm saying, during camp and during the beginning of the season, that we knew it was going to be a challenge, it was going to be adversity. It was just how we reacted to it, and I think thus far we reacted to it pretty well. We just got to keep going, moving forward.
You know, people saw you in your first early part of your career playing out special teams, maybe a little bit on defense, but now you've worked yourself into one of the main cogs of this defense. What goes into the process for you individually to do the things you need to do to get yourself in this position?
It's just the preparation. Coach Johansson always talked about it, you know what I'm saying? And the whole coaching staff is just preparing each day, you know what I'm saying, as you're a starter, even if you're not, you know. So just it's the preparation point where you just got to every day put your best foot forward and prepare, because you never know what can happen. So I think this year I did a pretty good job preparing, and the coaching staff has done a good job putting me in position to make plays and do the things to help the team win.
People watch you on game day. You're playing that Mike linebacker position. They can see you jumping around, trying to adjust plays and some of that. What goes into the position?
It's a lot, but I was ready to take the challenge. You know what I'm saying? You're the quarterback of the defense, so you got to make sure all the guys that are around you are in the right position and stuff like that. But it was a challenge I was ready to face. It was stressful at a point, but I think I've settled in now. And I'm just happy where I'm at, but always can be better.
What goes into each play? What are you looking for? Obviously, sometimes you drop into pass coverage, but you got to be that run stopper as well. What are you looking for when the offense comes to the line?
You know what I'm saying? We have certain keys we read each play. It's depending on what formation they come out in and what our call is. We're making adjustments from there and telling our defense what we need to do and what we need to get to. And also a credit to the safeties. They also play a big part in that too. Roman and DeJuan, they also, you know what I'm saying, get us the coverage calls, and we communicate that all around the field. But just reading the keys as the play comes out and what formation they're in, you know what I'm saying, I think that's what really does it for me.
You know, there's a lot of games this year. It's come down to the defense needing to get a stop. Obviously, you look at Northern Colorado and nearly losing that one in the end, but holding them to a field goal and some other plays, I'm sure it can be stressful. But this defense thrive on trying to get that final stop?
Yes. I think this program runs through defense. You know, looking back at the guys we had before, you know, we always had great, great defensive players. But, you know what I'm saying, we pride ourselves on making it on us, right? We always want to be the last one on the field to get the stop so our offense can always be in the victory formation. That's what we pride ourselves on every week. And I think it just shows that what we pride in, we take field to it, and we just keep doing it every week, and we just got to keep putting our best foot forward.
What goes into, you know, in-game adjustments? I think anybody who's watched this team has seen that sometimes the opposing offense will find success early in the game, but things get adjusted for the second half and the defense really locks in. What goes into some of those adjustments?
Well, the coaching staff, I mean, they do a great job of making sure that we're understanding what they're putting out in front of us, and I think they've done a really well job of doing that, just coming into half, and we're just talking about things, how we can fit it different, how we can get certain adjustments on the line, back end, you know what I'm saying? It's just all working. We're all working together as a unit, and I think that really shows.
What went into your decision? You know, you're going through a recruiting process. You end up coming to South Dakota. I'm sure you didn't even ever have that circled on your map at any point. But you end up at the University of South Dakota. What went into that? And looking back now, how do you feel that fit for your career?
I think it was great. I think it was a blessing for sure. You know, Coach Hodge, he was the one who recruited me. But it was a family. Like, it wasn't about my height. It wasn't about my speed. It wasn't about any of that. It was just about, you know what I'm saying, recruiting me and getting me here and being a part of this program. It's a real family here. They care about you not only just for your production. They care about you also off the field and what you do as a young man and how you're going to, you know what I'm saying, be a father. So I think that was really it for me. It was much different, obviously, coming from the South. I'm saying, I think I adapted to it pretty well, and it's thankful to the coaches. You know, they brought me in and they took care of me.
You probably thought it was too cold when you got here, but you might think it's too hot when you go back home.
I think I've gotten used to it pretty well. It's been a fun time here, and I'm looking forward to keep going.
How excited are you to go to Macon, Georgia? I mean, it's a little bit closer to home. It's not home quite for you, but that's as close as we've ever played to your home in your career.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, but keep the main thing the main thing, and that's winning the football game, preparing each day of this week to get this football team to where we need to go, and we just got to prepare and just keep the main thing, which is to win.
Talk about the linebacker group that you get to play with. I mean, Nate's been playing at a high level, and we see all these guys come in and rotate in and make plays and do all that. Talk about that group.
I mean, this linebacker room holds a dear in my heart. We are a very close room. You know, Nate is a great football player. We communicate with each other. Also Wade Abrams, he comes in and helps us, you know what I'm saying, things on the sideline that he looks for and stuff like that. Like, it's just a great group. I mean, we all work together. If one man can't get it done, I know the next man up can also get it done. So it's no, when the next person comes in, it's not a fall off. It's, you know what I'm saying, I think it's even better. So just the guys in this group, it's just a great thing.
You had that moment, Northern Iowa got called for that targeting penalty and kicked out of the game, had to miss the first half of the next game. You're the first guy, you might have beat the special teams players at halftime out onto the field to warm-ups. How much were you itching to get in that game, watching from the sidelines in the first half?
Man, I was pretty upset about the call, but it was nothing I can do about it. But, man, I was really ready to go. It was suck missing the first half, but, you know, I think just preparing for that game was a little bit difficult, knowing that I won't be able to play in the first half. But just like I said before, the process, right, preparing like you're the starter even though you're not, just keep coming at it every day full force. But I was itching to get out there. I was ready to go, but you know, I couldn't, so coaches had to hold me back a little bit. But I got in, and yeah, that's what it was.
You know, you said you're upset about the call. If anybody watches that, it wasn't like a violent hit or anything like that. And I've always said I hope someday they get to where there's two fouls, maybe you get penalized but not kicked out of the game for something like that, because very clearly weren't trying to hurt anybody in that. When those get called, does that cross your mind in the next game or two, or do you just keep doing your thing?
I just keep doing my thing. That's not really my main focus. It's just when I see a ball carrier, just try to get them down. But I don't think that's a big issue for me. I don't really think about it that much. I just try to go out there and make sure the defense is okay and ready to go.
I know you're always talking about preparation and everything. How much film watching do you do throughout the week?
A decent amount. I do watch. You know, I try to watch film all the way through, like right before the game. I think that's what works for me. Just try to see any tendencies. I mean, the coaches do a great job of getting us through the game plan of what we need to do. But just seeing if I can find things on my own and let my teammates know anything that I see that, you know what I'm saying, probably somebody else didn't pick up on. But I think I watch a decent amount of film through the week that you know what I'm saying, gets me ready to go to play on Saturday.
What's this defense have to do? Keep getting better here and finding ways to try to help carry this team as far as you guys can go, whether that's a next round, whether it's Nashville. What's this defense have to do?
We just got to keep playing together, keep playing as a unit, keep playing hard, physical. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're built off of, being the most physical team. That's what we pride ourselves on. Just got to keep doing that. I mean, we got a great group together that's really glued together through the season as the season went on. But I just think we just got to keep the main thing, and just keep preparing, keep winning each day as through the week goes on. So Saturday, we've already done our job through the week. So Saturday, it comes and it's easy.
One thing exciting about this group, there's a lot of young players on this defense right now.
Yeah, there is. I mean, this is probably the youngest group that since I've been here. We have a lot of young guys that we needed to step up in that role, and they have. They've shown that they can do it, and just a testament of what we go through and as a defense, as a team, it's really the next man up. You know what I'm saying? Just that mentality, and it goes back to the preparation. As you prepare for a starter, anybody that goes down, you know what I'm saying? You can make that happen for the team as you're prepared.
When people watch you play, what do you hope people think about when they watch Gabe Hardman?
That's a good question. I don't know, someone who, you know, is excited to play the game, that plays with joy, passion, and just love to play for the Coyotes. Love to have the home crowd in front of us, all the fans, you know. Someone that just sees joy and excitement, who loves their teammates, and who wants to, you know what I'm saying, make the Coyotes be better than what I found it. I'll say that.
I know you mentioned the fans. You make a big play, and then the crowd erupts. I mean, you're going to celebrate regardless, but how much does that just add to your celebration when you can feel that energy?
A lot. It makes you go even crazier. You know, when you have the Coyote fans in the stands rooting for you, it's a different feeling. I mean, it's always good to have some good Yote fans in the crowd. You know, it makes it a lot easier and harder for the other opposing team. So I think it's always a plus for us.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to the next game and hopefully a few more after this for the Yotes. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. And good luck this week.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Go Yotes.
That is Gabe Hardman. He is a linebacker for the University of South Dakota and a tremendous individual, man. He's really fun to talk to, and you could just get it from that conversation. He's locked in. He knows what he's doing, and I'm telling you, he's been a really big part of this Coyote defense this season. Mercer Bears are the number 6 seed in the FCS playoffs. They're trying to get by a team from the Dakotas for the first time ever. They've lost to South Dakota State a couple of years ago, ended their season, and last year North Dakota State. Now they get South Dakota. The difference is they get them at home in Macon, Georgia. Here to preview the Mercer Bears, I had a chance to chat with Rick Cameron, the longtime voice of Mercer. Rick, first off, congratulations on the great season. Mercer obviously has been a program that has, done really well in the SoCon the last few years, found itself in the playoffs and a top 8 seed for the Mercer Bears this year. What has been the feeling around the program to receive this top 8 seed and a bye in round number 1?
Well, thanks, John. You know, the amazing thing is we went 72 years without playing football and brought it back in 2013, started the first year in the Pioneer League as a non-scholarship team. After 1 year, our president decided, hey, let's go ahead and go scholarship, which we did, and joined the Southern Conference. So we're still somewhat pleasantly surprised the job that the three coaches who have had the reins to bring us back to football and successful. We were fortunate to make the playoffs 2 years ago as an at-large team. We won under Coach Mike Jacobs. We won the first SoCon title last year. And then this year, we're happy and pleased to win the championship again and unbeaten in conference play. So a lot of excitement about this team, the fact of what they've accomplished. Mike Jacobs has been here 2 years, done a tremendous job, former Ohio State offensive lineman and He's just done a tremendous job following Drew Cronick and getting us to this point. But it's, as you know, it's really tough in conference play to go unbeaten, especially in the Southern Conference with our format where everybody plays everybody else. There, you know, you don't take the day off. You got to go play all the other eight teams. So to go unbeaten was a really major accomplishment for this team this year.
What was the start of the year like? You guys are playing UC Davis, all the sudden thunderstorms come into the area. You find out we can't get this game finished, you know, 7 minutes left in that game. What was that whole process like? And obviously, both of those teams ended up a top eight seed.
Absolutely, John. We were so excited going into the season to play in the FCS kickoff at Montgomery and, of course, against a top 10 team, UC Davis, who's been in the playoffs for many years. That day in Montgomery, the weather was hot, as we expected to be. We get the game started. We play the first quarter. We play the second. We're behind at halftime. Third quarter, we start playing better. Midway of the third quarter, we're driving, hopefully, to go down, maybe tie the game, take a lead, and all of a sudden, the first bolt of lightning. And, of course, NCAA rules, you got to stop, wait 30 minutes. So we waited the first 30 minutes, and lightning struck again. So anyway, to make a long story short, we had a series of lightning delays, one followed two, followed three. It got to the point about 10:30-ish that the folks there that hosted at the stadium hosted the game to said, look, we've got to start this game before 11 o'clock our time because we've got people that are providing security, concessions, whatever at the stadium. Number one, we got to get them out of here at some point. Secondly, the plane to take the UC Davis team back to California was already on the runway awaiting the team. They had no hotel to go to. So we had to get it started by 11. It was not going to happen. We had a four-hour drive after the game was called at 11. It was still lightning when we pulled into the driveway. So it was just so strange because then we find out the game was suspended. Actually, it was determined it never happened. So Coach Jacob's kids, that might have been the most expensive scrimmage he's ever participated in. But, you know, it had its good and bad. The good, we got to scrimmage, play two and a half, three quarters against a very good UC Davis team to get the year started. We got the first week to play, and then we had an extra bye week the next week, or 2 weeks. So it was a good experience, but it's just so strange to play a football game, but yet it was never played. Not one single yard gained or lost counted in the stats.
That's just crazy sometimes how those things go, but you pick it up, you go through the season, obviously very successful season. Mike Jacobs is the head coach there at Mercer, and a guy who came in with a lot of experience. He was at Notre Dame, Ohio. Interesting connection for our fans. He was the head coach for running back Jaleel McLaughlin, who eventually went to Youngstown State, which is in our league, and now, of course, plays for the Denver Broncos. Great deal of success. What has he brought into the program that has just kept this thing going?
He's done a tremendous job, John. If you look at the Division I coaches who have been head coaches for a minimum of 7 years, winning percentage, it's Ryan Day at Ohio State first, Kalen DeBoer at Alabama second, Kirby Smart at Georgia third, and then Mike Jacobs is fourth. As you said, everywhere he's been successful. But what I like about Coach Jacobs, what you see is what you get. I know that's an old paraphrase, but literally he's a man who believes in discipline. He believes his mantra every day is run the ball, stop the run. He's not a lot of glitz. He just gets to the nitty-gritty, and he has expectations, just like after we lose to Presbyterian, after the UC Davis game that didn't count, post-game, he says, we're going to reevaluate everything we do, everything from the players to the staff to the support, everybody, anything that has to do with Mercer football, we're going to reevaluate. And he did, got us back on track playing by those simple rules of he tells his players, if you're on the field, you are 1/11th of the equation for us being successful. And he holds you to that. So, you know, it's no mystery as to the expectations from Mike Jacobs. You pretty much know what they are. And I think our young people kind of adhere to that and appreciate it.
You know, you look at this Mercer team, and obviously the offense runs through Braden Atkinson. He's a finalist for the Jerry Rice Award. Young player, obviously having a great deal of success. Pretty amazing to see a freshman come in and have the success he is.
It is, John. I mentioned a moment ago that Coach said he was going to reevaluate everything after the Presbyterian loss. He did, and one of those maneuvers was an 18-year-old kid from Roseville, North Carolina. He starts the next game against Wofford. We, the radio crew, the fans, like, who is Braden Atkinson? Well, he starts that game against Wofford, completes his first 9 passes, never looks back, and the kid's just had a phenomenal year throwing the football. One thing about him, to be so young and playing as a true freshman, is his composure. I know you hear this a lot about players being mature. Well, Braden certainly is, and he's whether it's third down and 15, third down and 4, he's the same guy. He's calm in the pocket. He's calm in the huddle, leading the players, looks for different receivers. There was one game midway of the season, John, he completed passes to 11 different receivers. To watch him throw the football, you would think he's in slow motion. It's such a release. But if you're on the sideline, those guys will tell you it's coming off his arm like a rocket. But he has provided tremendous leadership, and he's broken practically every passing record that we have as just a true freshman.
Well, he is the freshman of the year in the SoCon, and you also had the defensive player of the year in the SoCon. Another young player, Andrew Zock, just a sophomore. He's also a finalist for the Buck Buchanan Award. Man, he gets after the opposing offenses.
Well, Andrew's motor is running constantly. I would love one night to see Andrew Zock from a distance asleep in his bed, because when he is awake, he is moving. His motor's constantly moving. Great guy to be around, but on the field, I mean, they even use him on kickoff coverage teams. He's just energy, has a nose for the football, tremendous leader. And as you pointed out, you know, we take for advantage that Andrew's been here for several years. Well, you're right. He's just a sophomore. So it's only his second year. I thought when we had media day for the Southern Conference and coming off of a true freshman year, and he was selected the preseason defensive player of the year, and then to hold up to that standard with that little bit of pressure on him. But, yeah, Andrew is a true leader of the defense, no doubt.
You know, obviously schools at our level will take the games whenever we can get them. We usually play the bye games early in the season. You guys down there play them a little bit late, being in SEC country. Do you like that game being later in the year versus maybe early in the season?
Well, John, we've actually done it both ways. We played at over the course of time since 2013. We played Alabama 3 times. We played Auburn 3 times. We played Georgia Tech. We played Memphis. We played Ole Miss. We've had a combination of early in the season, and this year happened to be Auburn at the last game of the season. I don't know. I think I hate starting against an SEC team early in the year, and if you don't play as well as you thought you would, and trying to get all the pieces together because it's the first or second game, that score is going to be on there for the remainder of the year. End of the year, on the flip side, okay, like this year, well, we've won the Southern Conference, but we still have the playoffs to go. And going against an SEC team, you don't want to get somebody hurt or momentum's to slack. So this year I think it worked out okay. Going into Auburn, obviously we knew we had already won the championship, had the bye coming up. So it gave Coach a chance to say, okay, let's see what you can do in front of 88,000 people on the road in SEC country. So I don't know that I have a preference one way or the other, but this year, based on how the season unfolded, I think I kind of liked it coming when it did. Granted that we had the open week last week to try to, you know, regroup and get our breath before starting postseason play.
If Mercer's able to win this game and or make a deep playoff run, what has to go right for the Mercer Bears?
Well, I think if they can maintain the momentum of what they did on that 9-game stretch, don't get behind early. Obviously, Braden Atkinson has had tremendous composure all year, and I look for him to hopefully do that still. But this team has not committed many turnovers, number one. They've been fortunate in that area. Atkinson's had a tremendous year throwing the football. We stepped up with our running game a little bit on the recent times. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch our defense, John. We've been among the top 1, 2, or 3 teams all year in sacks and tackles for loss. So I think it's going to be interesting. I know you've got an excellent offensive line. You've got a great quarterback, great running back. I think early on it will be interesting to see Zach and those guys on the defense, how those our defensive line, your offensive line match up and how that goes in the early going.
Yeah, no doubt. It feels like it's going to be a really fun matchup on Saturday. Rick, I've never been to Macon. The only thing I know about Macon is they have the Macon bacon because I was looking at baseball teams once upon a time, and I love bacon, yeah. So I'm a big fan without ever going to a game. How about for our fans down, like, what do we need to know about the community, the area, okay, places to visit, things like that?
All right, we're about a little over an hour south. If you fly into Atlanta, just at I-75 south, and you'll be here in about an hour or so. The city of Macon has done a tremendous job downtown recently, John. We're kind of the Southern Rock. We're kind of the founding location. The Allman Brothers and Wilson Pickett and some of those people played here in the early years. Little Richard Penniman. So downtown is very popular right now. We've had restaurants and places to hang out have emerged. Cherry Street is right downtown. Most all the downtown streets are named after trees, cherry, plum, pine. But downtown, Cherry Street, there's a lot of great restaurants and other things to do that I think you'll enjoy the downtown look. If you want to be just north of town, Shops at River Crossing also has some great restaurants and shopping opportunities, an outdoor mall. Either one of those two, you can't go wrong, and I think you'll have a good time here at Macon on a Friday night.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Rick, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and can't wait for this game on Saturday.
Yes, sir, John. We are more than happy to welcome you folks and provide some Southern hospitality.
That is Rick Cameron. He is the play-by-play voice of the Mercer Bears, and that Mercer team, they look pretty good. They throw the ball all over the yard, so we'll see what the Coyote secondary has in store, and who knows, they might have more of a run game plan after we come in thinking they're going to throw it around, but we'll see what happens here for the matchup. Time now to take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. On Friday, the track and field team will be in Brookings for the SDSU Holiday Open. Coming up on Saturday, football at Mercer in the FCS playoffs, round number two. The winner is on to play either Montana or South Dakota State. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff time. It's on ESPN Plus and the Coyote Sports Network. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 10 o'clock Central Time on Saturday morning. It's the Big Sky Summit Challenge at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Women's basketball will take on Eastern Washington. Tip-off of that game is set for 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then men's basketball will play at Northern Colorado Saturday night. And that is a 7 o'clock Central Time start time. The Coyotes and the Northern Colorado Bears, both of those basketball games will also be available on the Coyote Sports Network. Coming up next week, men's basketball will play at Wyoming on Tuesday night, 7:30 Central Time, tip-off time, and women's basketball will be on the road at Bradley in Peoria, Illinois on Wednesday. That is 11 a.m. tip-off time. What are those kids' games between South Dakota and Bradley? That is next Wednesday, December 10th. You can always hear Coyote basketball on the Coyote Sports Network. That's it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.